Blog Talk Radio.
Out there in Blog Talk Radio land, this is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina, and this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you'll suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color only. Well, greetings to you all. Happy Christmas Eve to my listening audience out there. Hope today finds you doing well. Hope you all are spending time with loved ones and staying warm in this very cold weather. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, but I will give you a word of warning. Please pay attention to the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you are a person who likes to indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, trolling, just generally disrupting programs that you don't agree with, I will be prompted to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Once again, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. It has nothing to do with any of those things. We all disagree to a higher or lesser degree with each other somewhat anyway. So, but it has nothing to do with whether you agree with me or not. It has to do with respect. And if you want respect, then you need to give it out. So just keep in mind, just keep that in mind. Folks, let me get my chat page up here. Just past Sunday, I was invited to a show called Wake Up, New Orleans Wake Up. The host of the show named Warren, he wanted me to come on the show, explain my point of view. He has been on this show several times, and he and I have gone at it. We have clashed and whatever, and he invited me to his program on Sunday. And I reluctantly, but, you know, I went on his program. You know, a friend of mine warned me not to go on his program, but I knew what I was getting into. So I knew what I was getting into. I've come across types like Warren several times, and I knew what to expect. You know, so it wasn't like I naively went on his program, whatever. Because you know, Warren is he's a classic black racist. Let me just start off there. And I went on his program, and I knew what to expect from him. But and when I got on this program, we clashed a bit and everything and stuff like that. And let me state for the record that a lot of times when I might be out there in public, I might make some mistakes in my speaking and whatever. I'm not a perfect person. I'm not going to pretend that I am. I may have said some things that were wrong, my point of view, I do not believe is wrong. You know, I may have misspoke on some, you know, he brought up the founding fathers and all that and everything. And let me tell you all something. I am not a history buff, so to speak. I like history. I like reading about history, but I'm not what you would call a history expert. Now, that doesn't mean that I cannot speak on certain things in history. And before I go on, you know, before I say anything, and I'll probably, you know, be a little redundant with this statement, but people like Warren, they simply do not get it. I went on this program, and Monday he did a follow-up program called Our Black Conservatives Comfort Dogs for White Conservatives. You know, and his mode of thinking is that if you are a black conservative, you're basically being paid by white conservatives to say the things you do. Now, I told him on this show, I explained to him on this show, nobody is paying me a thin red dime to do what I'm doing. Nobody ever has. I have never been paid from the time that I came up with the name of Black by Color Only till now. I have not been paid a penny for my point of view. And to me, finances, money is not an object when it comes to speaking your point of view. I'm not going to hold back my point of view until you give me some money, and then I'm going to spill my guts. That's not what I do. Any honest person wouldn't do that. But I went on this show, and like I said, I don't regret going on this show because I understand the type of person that Warren is, because I've run into his kind for more than 30 years now. And they come up with the same arguments. You can say whatever you want you can try to explain to them till you're blue in the face. They're still going to think of you in a certain way. They're not going to come to a point of compromise and say, oh, okay, well, I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree with you. And see, that's the thing. I'm not trying to get you to agree with me. You have your point of view. I have mine. But to sit there and allow me to explain myself, and then you still want to believe what you want to believe, to me, that's being dishonest. Now, I explained to him several times why I call this show Black by Color Only, and folks like Warren do not understand why a black person like myself could have the sense of individuality that he has to think for himself and come up to these conclusions. And people like him think that people like me consult with white conservatives before we make our viewpoints. I don't consult with anybody. There's nobody behind the scenes. It's just me. So nobody is behind the scenes speaking into my ear and telling me what I am supposed to say. And people like Warren don't seem to get that. But anyway, let me play this clip just to show you where people like Warren stand. And this might take a while. This might take a while, but I just want you to bear with me. It's going to take about 9 minutes. So just bear with me.
For my program, and I just wanted to give a little summary before I do this clip. On this clip, is that people like myself, we are black comfort dogs for white conservatives. And he gets up there and he pretty much says that we deny history, we don't know history, we don't understand government and what people have gone through in history. And see, the problem with people like this dude is that he assumes, he makes an assumption about who he is talking to, because they don't think like he does, you know. And I just want to play a clip, and this is the reason why, you know. And when I went on his show, I knew what I was in for. I knew it, you know. It wasn't like I went into it with my eyes closed or anything. But I just want you all to hear what he says about people like myself, who I really don't see myself as a conservative. He doesn't seem to get that. He's saying, you know, you're playing word games and things like that. But he doesn't seem to get that. You know, he doesn't seem to understand that everybody's not going to think like him, and just because we don't think like him means we're in some wrong thinking or anything like that. But I just want to play this clip so you can hear what he says about folks like myself. And it might take a while, so let me just get it set up.
Princess, which would have been the British crown, and created this nation or republic, as some argue, based off the ideals and fundamentals of what is called democracy. But while they tell this story, they want to ignore a very large piece of the story in that narrative, because it doesn't fit into the fantasy image that they try to project of the United States, the creation of the United States. And that is hundreds of thousands of Africans and their children and grandchildren.
He says that we have this fantasy vision of the United States, but he doesn't realize that this fantasy vision came about by facts that we know. See, people like Warren think that myself, we don't know anything about American history, that we don't, that we're ignorant to the black experience, so to speak, whatever that is. And that's why he talks the way he does. Dude has selective thinking. You know, nothing is going to get him to think, you know, outside the box, so to speak. He's going to continue. He'll ask you to explain yourself, but at the end of the day, he's still going to believe what he believes. He's not going to come to a point of compromise and say, okay, well, that's your opinion and I got mine, so you know, let's agree to disagree, you know, we can respect one another. He's not going to do that. But let me keep going.
Children were not only held in bondage as property, but they had monetary worth that became the economic floor for a large percentage of the wealthy class that became the founders of the Republic, breaking away from Great Britain. And so that type of discussion is very uncomfortable for them, and they do not want to come into what you call, they don't want to interface with actually black people in that discussion.
I'm not uncomfortable with anything. If I was going to be uncomfortable with making these discussions, I wouldn't have this program, you know. So that's another misstep he's made.
Because they know that black people are very sensitive. And that discussion, if it's not handled responsibly, can create a conflict in communication at that point. So here comes the role of the black person, who agrees with them and who upholds their perspective. That black person, I argue, serves as an emotional support dog a service dog, a therapy dog. So how does it work? When the ideal is that when the black person says that this and that is not racist, in other words, the same thing the white person says, but the black person says it's not racist, that becomes like an emotional support for a white person.
So basically he's saying that people like myself like to parrot the racist narrative of white conservatives, which let you in on something. I have very rarely heard a conservative make something that was blatantly racist. And when you try to ask them, what have they said that was racist? You know, they, you know, when you ask people like Warren, what is it that this person said that is racist? They can't give you a straight answer. They start dancing, you know, whatever. I might need to put some Michael Jackson in my sound bite so that every time someone dances around my questions, you know, I'll just play that Michael Jackson since they like to dance all the time. But they don't give a straight answer. They never give a straight answer. When I was on his program, you know, and I asked him a question and he'll start this explanation. I say, give me a straight answer. He said, well, I'll give you a straight answer if you stop interrupting me. I said, okay, go ahead. You know, and he will explain himself. And I'm like, you still didn't answer the question. You still didn't answer the question. But let me keep on. Let me keep going.
Because the black person is saying the exact same thing he does. And then they say it's not racist. I've had many conversations on podcasts with white people who host so-called conservative perspective shows. Now you find some of them are playing games with the words. At one time they refer to themselves as conservatives, and then they say, well, I'm not a conservative. I'm a constitutionalist conservative. They play with these games, but it's all the same. Racist white people who try to find various guises to express fear, racial superiority, what you call, there's a term you call where you single out groups and then you blame the groups for problems. The term fails me right now, but this is what they need the black person for to articulate that.
There's an old saying, when you point your finger at somebody, beware of the three that point back at you.
You know, if I said this, if I said that about black people, it is going to be controversial because it's going to be called racist. So he kind of deals with the black people, and I deal with the white, that kind of stuff. And so you see that this is game is being played. Many black people are being paid. They're being paid.
You hear that? He said many black people are being paid. Now, I'm not one of those being paid. And I would dare say that a lot of black conservatives, they are not being paid to say what they do. Now, they might be getting paid, and they might be getting paid for their opinion, for their point of view. That's fine. I have no problem with it. Just like, you know, you got liberal black folks getting paid. I have no problem with that. Somebody wants to pay you, that's fine. But my thing is, you want to accuse conservatives of getting paid to say, black conservatives getting paid to say what they say about white conservatives, but how much are you getting paid, okay, for your point of view? See, you want to call us black lapdogs, but whose lapdog are you? Because you sound just like a lot of these liberals out here, you know. So the same accusations you can point at me, I can point them right back at you, you know. So, but let me continue.
Approach to evade truths about American history, the history of the Western world and its relationship with non-white people. We've seen through this charade when a black person maintains these positions and then the white people support them. The white people give them financial support. They give them exposure. And it's already designed to where the black person, like myself and others, we're supposed to argue with that black person because the white people don't want to deal with it. They can't win the argument. They can't win the argument even if they try to perpetuate these untruths that I'm going to talk about. And one of the issues is slavery, the discussion of slavery and the founding of the United States, okay? The issue on racism, what racism is, okay? And these things are definitely overlooked or purposely dismissed in the white conservative discussion of America in American history. And I'm going to go into how they try to downplay the role of enslavement in the development, the foundation and development of the United States, how they try to downplay the racist beliefs of the so-called founding fathers, how they try to downplay or confuse people with what is racism. The black conservative's job is to be the black face representing a white perspective. In other words, it's like this guy I had on one of my programs who's the host of his own show entitled Black by Color Only. His show should be called Black by Color Only and White in Mind Only.
Oh, boy, I tell you, when I first heard that, I chuckled, just like I did now. And I told myself, I said, this rascal just doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. There is no white person behind me telling me what to say. No one is behind me, they don't have strings on me like a marionette, and they're telling me what to say to, you know, to be the black face of white conservatives. First of all, white conservatives can speak well enough on their own, so they don't need a black face for their, you know, for their rhetoric or anything like that. And see, like I said, people like him just don't get it. And see, I'm the type of person, and I see Pianki's in my queue. Pianki warned me not to go on his show, and I went on his show anyway because I knew what I was getting into. It wasn't like I was being naive or anything, because like I said before, I've run into Warren is not the first person that I've ever run into that talks like this. You know, I've got family members. I've been on the streets and run into people that think just like Warren does. And I knew what I was getting into. And when Warren, you know, when he was trying to ask me certain questions to set me up, he said, "Yeah, I'm trying to get you in a trap." Now, that's the first stupid thing that you don't tell a person. If you're trying to lead a person into a trap, you don't tell them that you're trying to put them in a trap. And that's what he said he was doing. "I'm trying to put you in a trap." I was like, "Okay, go ahead," you know. But he got on there and started asking me all these questions and stuff. And I already knew that if, you know, when I, you know, explained to him what the show is about and everything, I knew he wasn't going to, you know, say, "Okay, you know, let me think about that," and whatever. And I knew he wasn't going to be that, because people like Warren, like I said, they have a selective belief system. And no amount of explaining is going to convince them what you are explaining. It's not going to convince them. So You know, and I said, you know, I went on the show to show people, hey, this is how they are. This is just how they are, you know, and I have no regrets. I have no regrets coming on that show. I really don't. But when he said I should change the name of my show to Black by Color Only with a white mindset, I said, see, he doesn't get what I was trying to explain to him. And I told him this has nothing to do with a white mindset. I don't have anyone behind me with a remote control, and they're telling me how to talk. But let me finish this out.
Because basically, if the black person is saying the same things the white racist is saying, it's like a puppet. It's like you have strings on a puppet, or you have your hand inside the body of the Muppet, and you're manipulating their mouth. In fact, you're actually doing the talking, and his mouth is moving. But what he or she, the black conservative, is saying, he's saying exactly your words.
So that ends that clip. And that's why I do a program. That's why I do this program. And a lot of times they may be trying to attempt to intimidate me or to shut me down and whatever, and tell me that, you know, you're trying to be white and all that and everything. Like I said, the only person who planned this show that I'm doing, I've been doing this show for 13 years, had a YouTube channel called Black by Color Only. I do have one now, but I haven't put any videos on it. But I've been doing this show for 13 years. And I know why I do this show. I know why I named the show what I wanted to name it. Nobody planned this show with me. There was no person that I got together with and said, hey, I want to do a show called Black by Color Only. Can you give me some points, some tips and everything and stuff like that? None of that. Most of my techniques come from time spent on the internet. There's no white conservative behind me with his hand in my body, and he's talking and my lips are moving. And see, that's a tactic they like to use. That's a tactic they use to describe black people who speak for white conservatives, which that's not what I do. We got a Jesse Jackson wannabe here in North Carolina. He lives in Raleigh. His name is William Barber, and he described Tim Scott as a dummy who needed a ventriloquist. That's the tactic they use. They don't understand why a black person can think the way they do, and so that's when they start coming up with the insults and everything and stuff like that. And see, after hearing that show, I'm convinced that you're not going to, no amount of explaining is going to get Warren to, you know, provoke his thoughts or anything like that. So, you know, I'm done with Warren. I'm done with him. You know, I told him I would come on his show again, but after hearing that, I was like, yeah. I knew it. I'm not surprised. And I told myself, nah, it's not going to do any good, you know, continuing talking to him, because he's going to continue to, and he's not going to convince me of anything. So we're just going to be like two rams going at it, you know. And I said, no, I'm done with him. I'm done with him. Now, and it has nothing to do with hurting my widow feelings and all that crazy mess, because he'll probably say something like that. And I'm not going on his show. You know, I'm not going on his show anymore. It's kind of like, you know, I told myself if I were to ever hit the mainstream, which, you know, I could. No, I'm not looking forward to that. But if I ever hit the mainstream and certain people say, hey, we want you on our show so you can explain who you are, you know, like someone from The View, I'm not going on The View. Nope. Nope. But I knew the type of person that Warren was. I didn't go into this thing with my eyes closed. I knew what he was. And when he said that stuff, I said, let me just listen to his shows, to his follow-up shows, and, you know, listen to what he has to say. And I heard that. I was like, there you go. that there it is. And I said, okay, yeah, yeah. It's not going to do me any good to try to explain myself, because I told him several times why I named this show Black by Color Only. But he wants to continue to believe like he does. And I'm just going to let him, you know, the Bible says that any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. And I said, right now, he's beyond ignorance. He's in stupidity right now. He's in stupidity. And, you know, he wants to say, you know, I should change the name of my show to Black by Color Only with a White Mindset. Well, maybe I should suggest to him he should change the name of his show to New Orleans. We think we're woke, but we're really not. I mean, and so he did another show. He did another show. I forgot the name of that one. But he went to describing what white conservatives really are. You know, he went to they got several distinctions how you can tell when you're dealing with a white conservative. And let me share something before I go into this list. White conservatives are not racist. You might have a couple here and there, or whatever, but for the most part, white conservatives are not racist. And when they say you black conservatives, you like to parrot the vernacular or the rhetoric of white racist conservatives. First of all, what makes you think that they're racist? And whenever I ask them these questions, they never give me a direct answer. Like I said earlier, I asked him. I said, "What is it that white conservatives say that is so racist?" And he said, "Well, they say that black people were better off when they were in slavery." I said, "I've never heard a white conservative say that. Not one time." And I said, "If you can tell me, you can show me this specific person who made that specific statement, I will call them out and call them a liar, because we were not in a better situation because we were in slavery." Now, I remember Michelle Bachmann some years ago saying that our families were closer, that we were tighter, and this continued on into Jim Crow. You know, at one time, black people had a higher rate of marriage than white folks. And he, you know, he kind of talked down to me as if, you know, I don't know history. You know, as if I don't know black history. Like I said, I'm not going to sit here and act like that I'm a history expert. But I know enough history to be able to put two and two together. And he's telling me, "Well, have you read about the black experience?" Well, I don't need to read about the black experience to understand. I'm a black person. I've had my own experience. And once again, this is a tactic they like to use, you know, oh, you need to read about read this book, read that book and everything. I don't need to read your book. Well, you must not live in the hood. You don't live in the hood, do you? And I tell them, I tell them expressly, most of my life I've lived in black neighborhoods. Go to Sea Pleasant, Maryland. Go to Sea Pleasant, Maryland, off of Central Avenue. There's a division of townhomes called Central Park Townhomes. Off of Central Avenue, Sea Pleasant, Maryland, right outside of Southeast Washington, D.C. Tell me how many white families you see living in Central Park townhouses. Or let me take you to 1831 D Street, Northeast Washington, D.C., where my grandmother lived. Probably about a mile from RFK Stadium, where the Redskins used to play. Or Or let me bring you here to 2207 South Roxborough Street in Durham, North Carolina, where I currently live. And tell me, do I live in the hood? And see, folks like Warren, they think people like myself ignore history, and that we're ignorant to history, and that we choose to ignore history. And I'm for the sake, I don't know why someone would think that I'm trying to ignore history. And I said on this program, yeah, I'm just going to get it out the way. After that, I'm going to be done with them. I've always said on this program that history is the stain you cannot wash out of fabric of time. And I said, I've said that several times on this program. And when I say that, that means whatever happened in history is set in time. You can't change it. You can't go back in a time traveling DeLorean and go and change history or anything like that. It's set. It's a stain that you cannot wash out. It's like grape juice. Sometimes that stain sets and it is set for life. That's what history is in the fabric of time. And all you have to do is go back in history. There are documents on historical events and whatever. All you have to do is pull them up. Go get you some pecan pie, man. All you have to do is look it up. And have an open mind when you do look up history. Because a lot of people, they like to try to change the narrative. They like to change whatever happened in history and whatever. And a lot of things that he explained that happened in history, I have no disagreement with that. Yes, some of the founding fathers were racist. I understand that. But when you say that this country was founded in racism, now that's where I tend to draw the line. 1619. This country was not founded in 1619. This country was founded in 1776. And less than 90 years later, slavery had been abolished. So if this country was founded in white supremacy and everything, how come slavery had a relatively short life in this country after it was founded? And he made a statement about Abraham Lincoln. And I don't believe that Abraham Lincoln was necessarily a racist. He's half white. I'm looking at a Pianchi in my chat room. He's half white. See, that's another thing I can harp on. But he made a statement that said, you know, Abraham Lincoln was racist. And he quoted, I can't remember the statement that he said about Abraham Lincoln. And I don't doubt that Abraham Lincoln made that statement. But I don't believe Abraham Lincoln was a classic racist, because if he were, you know, I don't think the Emancipation Proclamation could have been passed. I really don't. I believe, now this is my opinion. This is my opinion. You can correct me if you like. Please do correct me. And if you all hear me say anything off key or whatever, don't feel like I'm going to be too proud to accept your correction. Please correct me. I believe Abraham Lincoln believed that he was superior to black people, but he couldn't explain why. So to me, Abraham Lincoln is not your classic racist. I don't believe he hated white people or black people, even though there were some statements that would beg another question. But, you know, He thinks that I'm just here to be a voice for the white people, which I'm not. Like I said, I ain't the only person who planned this show was me. I have no consultants. I have no producers. I have no sound people or anything like that. Eventually, I would love to have a crew to work on this show with me and everything. But as far as I know, for the past 13 years that I've been doing this show, it's been me and me alone. But like I said, they only use these tactics because they can't understand why a dark-skinned person like myself can think for himself and be an individual. But let me share with you what he was saying about the characteristics of the white of white racist conservatives, which if you're a conservative, for some reason, you're automatically a racist, even though I have rarely heard a conservative say anything racist. He said white conservatives, and he was saying this about white conservatives and black conservatives. He says that we are shallow. And he says we're shallow. He's basically saying we're a bunch of dingbats. We don't know what we're talking about. He says we're insecure. We attempt to become angry at their viewpoint or logic. I've never known people like Warren to use logic in their statements, very rarely. And they say, we attempt to distort the facts. That's funny. He says, we are dishonest, and we attempt to rewrite history using diversionary tactics to avoid the facts. Now, this one is real funny, because almost every time I run into people like a Warren, they're the ones that use the diversionary tactics to avoid the facts. They don't give you a straight answer, and he wouldn't give me a straight answer. He wouldn't give me a straight answer. When he made the claim that white conservatives say that black people were better off as slaves, I said, show me the person who said that. He couldn't give me a straight answer. And when I told him, give me a straight answer, he was like, oh no, you keep on interrupting me. I'm trying to explain to you. No, I don't need an explanation. Give me a straight answer. Show me the receipts. Says that we are evasive. We avoid topics and serious discussion to manipulate the conversation. And that we are easily manipulated. And he brought up Donald Trump and the incident on January 6, 2021. He said Donald Trump manipulated those people to storm the Capitol. And when some of them got in trouble, Donald Trump left them out to dry. I don't know who you are. Said he manipulated those people. Apparently, he didn't read the statement by Donald Trump. And Donald Trump said, I know that you all are going to protest peacefully, patriotically. And see, he's another person who's been poisoned by the media. He believes what the media says to him. He really doesn't investigate. He only investigates anything that agrees with his point of view. That's basically what he does. And he said, and he was talking about replacement theory. Yeah, I'm going to be done with it. I'm going to be done with it, Bianchi. Just bear with me. He was talking about white racist conservatives believe in replacement theory. Now, this was a good one. I said, I don't know where in the world he got this from. He said that white conservatives, the reason why they want to build a border wall was because they don't want to be replaced by people who are non-white. Forget the fact that some of these people crossing the border could be terrorists, Some of them are gangsters. Some of them are drug dealers. You know, a lot of the fentanyl that we have in this country that has just exploded and just knocked down. I don't know how many people have been killed by fentanyl. I think they just did a drug bust not too long ago where they discovered enough fentanyl to kill every person in the United States recently. But, you know, the white people are just afraid, you know, people crossing the border is going to replace the, America's whiteness. I don't know where he gets that from. I don't know where he gets that from. And he believes that's why white conservatives are hostile to immigrants. Basically, dude is speaking out of the side of his neck. That's basically what he's doing. He don't know what he's talking about. He thinks he does. He thinks he's scholarly. He might be able to catch you up in a few questions and everything. And he's like, aha, you know. But dude doesn't know what he is talking about. So, folks, like I said, I will not be interacting with Mr. Warren from here on out. I'm not going on his show. I've done my part. I have said what I needed to say. And there's no need for me to continue trying to explain myself. And this person is just going to continue to believe what he wants to believe. Like I heard someone say one time, you can't argue with a barking dog. And he wants to call us comfort dogs for the white conservatives. But he doesn't know that he's being a comfort dog for the white liberals who like to play on the minds of black people in this country and tell them they're going to do all kinds of things for them, all so that they can get some votes and win the next election. That's, hey, you know. I wash my hands of the whole thing. You know, if he comes on here, I'm not going to engage him. I'm not going to engage him on this program because I'm done with it. I'm done with the whole thing. He proved my point. He proved me right that he was that type of person. And I said, I've got no more further discussions with him. And like I said, I don't regret going on this program because I knew the type of person he was. I knew the type of person he was. And the only reason why I went on this program because I've never been interviewed by anybody on this program. But I knew the type of person he was. So, you know, and Pianki, yeah, you told me. But I have no regrets. I have no regrets. But, you know, this is what I wanted to talk about. This is one of the things. He brought up a young lady named Zayla Avant-Garde. And those of you all who don't know who that is, that's the young lady who won the spelling bee last year, Scripps Spelling Bee. And he brought her up and he said that this young lady winning the spelling bee, she was the first American black girl to win the spelling bee. And I'll leave a link to the article I wrote about her on my blog, and you can go and check it out. This is my opinion about Zayla Avant-Garde. And I'll leave this link in the chat room. You go check it out, you know, and you can check out everything. I've been neglecting this page for a while, and I need to get back on it. I need to get back on this page. But once again, it's just me, so sometimes things happen, and you know, you lose track of time and whatever. But I'm gonna leave the link to you guys in the chat room. You can check it out. And I heard of Zayla Avant-Garde long before Warren did a show about her. And he gets up on his show and he's like, Zayla Avangard is a threat to white conservatives because, you know, she showed them up when she won the spelling bee. You know, the black folks were screaming hallelujah from the mountaintops. We finally overcome. But I have a different take on Zayla Avangard. First of all, that's her trophy. She didn't win that trophy for black folks. That's her trophy. She's the one that put in the time. Her father, check this out. Her father realized her talent. And he said, I'm going to enter my daughter into the spelling bee. And so they studied 15,000 words a day to prepare her for the spelling bee. And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. If I'm correct, they only did this for just a few years, like 5 years maybe. Most kids who enter the spelling bee, they start grooming them at kindergarten, maybe even earlier. But this girl, she studied to be in the spelling bee for just a few years. And she ended up winning the spelling bee. Now, people say that this was a victory for black people and that the white people, they're threatened by this girl. I wonder if this girl ever got any death threats for winning the spelling bee. Someone please tell me that, if she did. But I guarantee you, I can pull up any person in Congress or in our government and ask them, do you know Zayla Avangard? They'll be like, who? They're not threatened by this girl. But what this girl showed was that black people could have done this years ago. They could have won the spelling bee years ago. But they were so afraid, oh, the white man is going to hold us back. And you got some black parents who think it's not a good thing for their child to be smart or whatever. Oh, it's too nerdy and everything and stuff like that. But Zayla Avangard didn't have to be the first black American child to win this spelling bee. We could have done it earlier. And they bring up this thing about, you know, back in the day, the racism, yada, 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 yada. But this just showed you that no matter who could be against you, you put in the right time and effort, you're going to win. But let me, I'm sitting here talking and I'm supposed to be putting this link. You all can check that out. That's my blog. That's my personal blog and my thoughts on the whole Zayla Avangard thing, you know. And basically what happened when Zayla Avangard won the spelling bee, she was inadvertently saying, now, if I'm a black girl, I could do it. There are other black girls and black boys out there who could win this spelling bee. Now, she's not the first black person to win. First black person was a girl in, I think, 1994. She was from Jamaica. She won the spelling bee. She's the first black person to win spelling bee, which that should have told people even back then, hey, a black girl won. But so many of us, we're so caught up in the white man, and the white man is going to, you know, hold us back. The white man doesn't want us to do anything. And we sit down and everybody else gets ahead of us, and we sit there and we want to blame the white man for the reason why we are still behind the pack. Because a lot of us don't want to get up and dedicate ourselves for something special. I remember some years ago, about 30-something years ago, I was at a plastic molding company. And, you know, we were just sitting there trimming the plastic and everything. And I said, I just happened to mention, you know, we were just talking about, and I said, the black man's problem is not the white man. And this guy was like, whoa, what do you mean? What do you mean? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I said, the black man's problem is not the white man. The black man's problem is himself. The black man's problem is himself. See, we look at our skin color, and we like to make excuses for our skin color because, see, we like to worship our skin color. We idolize our skin color. We idolize our melanin. Oh, I'm a black person. Oh, yes, I am the greatest. But a lonely black white person comes up and say, you can't do nothing. You're like, he just told me I can't do this. Oh, my goodness, he's holding me back. Instead of going out and proving to them and saying, hey, you know, just like anybody else, we are human just like anybody else. We have the same brain structure. We bleed red, and we have the same type of organs and whatever. The only difference is between us is culture and our skin color. Instead of saying that, they say, look, I'm going to show you that I can do this. And we've done it several times before. That's why I don't get so excited when a black person makes some type of accomplishment and people say, oh, that's the first black person to do this. That's the first black person to do that. I don't get so excited now. Now, back in the day, that was probably necessary because there were white people that wanted to keep us down and say we were inferior. I'll give you a good example, the Tuskegee Airmen. And I love that story about the Tuskegee Airmen. I love that story. The Red Tails. They were told they were inferior, so they weren't given positions of combat. But a special regiment came to Tuskegee University, same university founded by, what's the guy's name, Booker T. Washington? And they taught them the tactics of flying and, you know, maneuvering and everything. And they were one of the most decorated air groups in World War II. Matter of fact, if I'm correct, I think they are the first air group to shoot down a Messerschmitt, which was the first jet fighter in history. In, you know, the Germans had come up with the ME-262. I think they were the first squadron to shoot down one of those planes. I understand that we had our disabilities, you know, our disadvantages and whatever, but we're not living in that time now. That's the problem. That's the point that they don't seem to get, that we are not living in that era now. I'm not saying we should forget the history. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we do not live in that era now. And we need to go back to history so we don't repeat the same mistakes in the past. Because basically what I'm seeing going on now is now it's going to be a reversal, and the black people are going to start discriminating and segregating from the white folks. It's already starting in our schools. And there, yes, Pianki made it. Look, Pianki's on point. He said there were blacks who wanted to keep blacks down too. And I know this for a fact. Now, I ran into that a lot. But anyway, I think I may have talked a little bit over. But anyway, let me get my... let me get my advertisements down pat. And when we come back, we're going to go do some fruit bat hunting. You're listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. Is he still not smiling?
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
All right, all right, all right. We are at the top of the hour. Welcome back to the program. And if you would like to be a guest, the call in, 646-478-5284. That's the call in number, 646-478-5284. And before I left for the announcements and everything, I had read a list about, you know, what this guy was saying about what are the different characteristics of white conservatives, you know. But once again, when you point your finger at somebody, be aware of the three that point back at you, because I can tell you almost every time I get into a debate with one of these, you know, with one of the apostles of blackness, they show every last one of these characteristics. They're shallow, insecure. They get all hyped up and everything. They're very dishonest, evasive. When you try to get a direct answer from them, you can't get a direct answer from them. You know, and they're the ones, I guess you could say they're guilty of black replacement theory, because, you know, they're afraid that, you know, black people are going to go extinct, which if we continue aborting our babies, we just might. But anyway, I was so glad I was able to do this show today, because last night, you all know the weather situation around the country. Basically, the whole country is being imprisoned by a cold weather system. And here in Durham, North Carolina, we had a little wind. Thursday, we had some rain come through. And we had a little wind and everything. It was cold. Yesterday when I woke up, it was almost 50 degrees. A couple of hours after I got to work, the temperature had dropped down, I think, to the 20s. And I was like, okay, well, you know, the skies had cleared up, you know, not a cloud in the sky. And I had to go out and get some groceries yesterday. And, you know, because it's a Friday before Christmas, the roads were packed. You know, the local mall here in Durham, I haven't seen it packed that much in about 2 or 3 years. It was packed. And I went to the grocery store and whatever, and my wife called and said she wanted to get some Japanese food, had to stop by there, had to deposit a check and everything. And we got in, and around 9:20, our lights went out. And it was like, oh, my goodness, you know. But, see, here's the benefits of being married. When you're cuddled up to your loved one, the one you love the most and everything, it gets a little easy to generate some heat. And so, really, we didn't freeze last night, even though the temperatures fell down to the single digits last night. When I got up this morning and went about in my SUV, the temperature was 9 degrees. And the wind wasn't blowing that hard, but it was blowing hard enough. And I went out there, and our lights didn't come on until a little bit before 3 o'clock this afternoon. I mean, all through the night, most of the day, I told my wife to, you know, I wanted her to go into the SUV and get warm, and, you know, so she can charge up her iPhone, because my wife loves that iPhone. She loves it, you know. And she was running out of juice in her iPhone. And so we were sitting in the SUV. We sat in that SUV, I think, for about 3 or 4 hours. you know, trying to get warm and everything. We didn't want to come back into the apartment because it was cold. And so we're sitting there, and below us is a Hispanic family, and they were moving boxes of stuff and everything. I guess they were getting ready for Christmas tomorrow. And all of a sudden, you know, the mother, she comes out, oh, yeah, the lights are on. We were like, oh, the lights are on. And, boy, I tell you, sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know. I mean, sometimes we take things for granted. And when we came back upstairs, came inside, the light above the stove was on. I was like, oh, man, thank you, Jesus. You know, our power is on. Because I didn't want to be without power, you know, because I got a three-day weekend. I don't go back to work till Tuesday. And, I wanted to chill this. Well, I did chill. But and but I was so thankful. And one of my biggest concerns was this show, because I really wanted to do this show today. And I was able to do that. Almost as soon as I got in, you know, got prepared and whatever and stuff like that, so I can talk to you good people out there. But I'm not so sure it's cold enough for the fruit bats, though. You all, that is my fruit bat alarm. That's my fruit bat alert that lets you know I'm going to the phones. And if you are a person who wants to indulge in character assassinations and ad hominem attacks, straw man arguments, gaslighting, excessive profanity, things like that, I would advise you to hang up now, or I'll be happy to oblige you. Okay, having said that, you have been warned. And I know who this is. This is a familiar. What's up, Bianchi?
Hey, what's going on, Vince? How are you doing, sir? Merry Christmas.
I am.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, too. And I'm sitting here trying to get warmed up because, you know, trying to get this apartment warmed up because, you know, for most of the last night and everything, our power was out.
It's still out?
Nah, it came back on. About 3 hours ago.
You must have had a lot of wind.
They didn't know what. It was kind of weird because, and I don't know if every other city has a power grid like we do. We were out of power here. Mm-hmm. Right across the street from us, another apartment building, they had power. And when I went out driving this morning, there were certain parts of the city that had power, and there were others that didn't. And I'm like, well, this is weird, you know, because usually when you have wind damage or something like that, it takes out a wider area, you know. But this time it was like this area had power, this one didn't. I mean, you could see traffic. You can approach a traffic light. You say, oh, okay, this traffic light is out of power. But you can look down less than half a mile, and the next traffic light, it'll be working. And it was like, what kind of weird mess is this? You know, I don't know what.
Well,
but they said they did determine.
That's the way they arrange them, just so that everything doesn't simultaneously go out. And it makes good sense too. And well, I don't have too much to report on today. I imagine Sarge do. Oh, you know what I was going to tell you? I was looking at, you know, Detroit Public School Board voted to remove Ben Carson's name from a high school.
Yeah.
Now, Detroit Public Schools, back in the 90s, when I was visiting, I would visit public schools there that was doing exceptionally well, like Paul Robeson and Malcolm X. And I would video, you know, some of the activities. Unlike what was going on in Marcus Garvey in South Central L.A., that was one of the best schools I ever witnessed. And at that time, and I think it was like 1998, because there's a guy by the name of Clifford Wilson who called an ad hoc committee meeting on a Saturday when the temperature was down frigid, you know, probably below zero. And the subject was the education of black males. Matter of fact, he wrote a book on it. And they sat down and put together what they was going to try to turn around the academic performance in Troy public schools at that time, which the population was over 100,000 with a $1 billion budget.
Wow.
Well, they did put some schools together, and I did witness some very good things going on in schools, like I believe in Malcolm X and also Paul Robeson. But those things have came and gone. Matter of fact, Malcolm X had some academic performance that would rival Grosse Pointe and Van Arbor at the time.
Okay.
And they gone by the wayside. But the thing that pinpoints with me today is that population of the school district is down less than 50,000. And the school budget is around $766 million, with less than 50,000 students, whereas back during the time when I was telling you about these changes that the people themselves wanted to see done, they had over 100,000, I think it was like 110,000 students, with a budget of $1 billion. And you ask yourself, why in the world you got almost three-quarters, 75% of what the budget was when you had over 100,000 students, and now you got less than 50,000, and you still complain that you don't have enough money. I don't understand. And this board consists of all black females, and as I say, why would you vote to take down the renamed a school after Ben Carson, who was a world-renowned surgeon, known for his expertise skill when it comes down to Cogern twins, Cogern baby that was joined together, especially at the head, and the complications and the dangers that centered around that type of circumstance. And I think what they're doing is punishing him because he served in the Trump administration. HUD. Now, that's racist.
That's all that is. Yeah.
That's racist.
Exactly.
Because if it was white board doing it, they would holler racism and every other damn thing. But you got blacks that's doing the same thing. Detroit is ran by black in most in part. Now, yes, you have to ask yourself, why did they vote for a white person as mayor of Detroit? At least three terms in a row. I know two for sure, but at least three. Dugan is white, but he's Democrat. So, you know, it's complicated situation that's going on that we witness and shake our head at. Hell, in St. Louis, it's the same thing. You've got, for instance, school district like East St. Louis School District, where the children are academically way under performance. And when you have a school district that has less than 1% of the high school body, 1%, less than 1%, you can't get no lower than that. That's performing in math. Less than 5% in reading. Where are these kids going? And somebody will argue with me and point out one or two or three. Yeah, that's cool. But hell, like in Philadelphia, you had only three students out of a class, a high school class of over 1,800 that was doing math proficiently.
Wow.
And then you make comment about this spelling bee champion, and she's Ghanaian. She comes from, her family is Ghanaian. It's not Native Black Americans.
Yes.
The one thing that key you off is that the type of rigors that she go through in order to perfect her spelling skills. 15,000 words a night?
Yep.
Heck no, you're not going to find that as typical or atypical in native black populations in this country.
Nope, you're not.
That means that she ain't got time to be on the football field up until 8:30 at night, nor the basketball court shooting free throws.
Mm-hmm. And see, the thing about her, though,
15,000 words.
The thing about her, though, she's already in the Guinness Book of World Records for how she dribbles. I forgot what it was, and I think
she dribbled four basketballs at a time.
Yeah, and she's pretty good at. I seen the girl play, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's actually quite good. But they want to say, oh, that's a victory for black people. No, it's a victory
now,
for her.
Blacks in America want to claim everything that's non-black.
Everything.
For instance, that lady name coming out of the early 1900s, Henrietta Zack, the one who's she had cervical cancer, and they would do autopsies, and they noticed here even just recently that the cells are continuing to multiply.
Yeah. Didn't she live in Baltimore or someplace like that?
She stayed someplace out on the East Coast. But this lady is French.
Yeah.
Her parents is French. Her grandparents is French. White.
Yep.
And just because her skin is not completely lily white, blacks want to claim her.
Yeah.
I asked, you seen in that post I put up there. Well, here's a picture of Carrie's wife. And I can't think of her name. And she's from Mozambique, Africa, born there.
Mm-hmm.
So what is she? Teresa Carey Hines of the Hines inheritance. Heinz ketchup inheritance, or should I say Heinz food? What is she? She's not lily white. What is she? Nobody can answer that question. That shuts them up.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them, look at Jerry Jeter.
Yeah.
And I say, why are you trying to claim this woman as being native black, talking about some one drop rule? What, one drop French?
I mean, really. and here's the thing that gets me to, and you made mention of it in the chat room. You know, a lot of these people talk about evil white folks and everything. Well, some of these black folks that always want to talk about black this and black that, they look like they got some cream mixed in their coffee. So I'm like, so are you at odds with yourself? Are you at odds with your white self? You know, what's going on here? You know, you just want to claim yourself to be black, but you just want to.
I know a lot of them like that. I ain't for sure, but I know ones that are. I know one that be on a Detroit radio station. Heck, he's damn near light, bright, damn near white. And he's downing white folks. I said to myself, this person must have an evil for part of his own biological makeup. What does he do when he goes to the mirror to brush his teeth? Punch his eyes with the toothbrush?
I mean, for real. You know, look at Louis Farrakhan, you know, someone mixed some cream and sugar in his coffee too, you know, and you want to sit there and talk about the white man and the white man. Look, me, I look like your typical black man, but I got Scottish Irish in me. I got a little drop of Cherokee, but you look at me, I look like your typical black man, but I got Scottish Irish in me. So
yeah. But anyway, I know Sarge is out there on the outskirts flying around because
I see him in the chat room, and thanks for that correction, Sarge, about the Tuskegee Airmen. I appreciate that because it definitely is one of my favorite stories about how black people were, you know, they were discriminated against. Said they, y'all not good in combat, but they proved themselves in World War II.
Oh yeah, they did.
And you can understand because you're not used
to being around certain people, no matter who it is. People have these reluctances until individuals prove themselves. You think that whites would let me put up multi-story buildings, office buildings, and put up bridges across rivers and railroads if I didn't know what I was doing?
Exactly.
Suppose that building falls over in the middle of downtown St. Louis or in the middle of downtown Brentwood or down in Arno, Missouri, there off of Richardson Road, on Richardson Road off of Highway 55. You think they would have let me done that? Hey, we ain't going to let that black man do this. Well, yeah, I imagine, you know, there was some cases where we had to bring some people to task, like Stuart Aaron out of further down Missouri, who provided the steel for Vashon High School. I think it was Vashon. No, it wasn't Vashon. It was Gateway. But, you know, another company up in Kansas City, Havens Iron, you know, we had some problems with them, but it was white. General contract said, look, if you don't get this straightened out, you ain't going over to the stadium with us. He ain't talking to me. He was talking to them. You ain't going to be treating our subcontractors this way. So it was many cases, not just with me or all around, where people done what you was expecting them to do. But the ones that was working for the city of St. Louis was black. That gave me a hard time of trouble because you had to meet some of their certification goals. Percy Green, who I like Percy, because Percy was the one who climbed up on the Gateway Arch and tied himself off because he was complaining about discrimination. But he was also in a particular office in St. Louis City. And those people there, see, them Democrats have their own tribe. And if you ain't kowtowing to the rules and stipulations of their tribe, then they're going to give you a hard way to go, especially if you're black. Because they expect all blacks to fall in line and sing the same song and do the same movement back and forth and marching.
Mm-hmm.
It don't work that way.
Just for some. Yeah, just for some votes. That's all they care about, is getting them votes.
That's all they want.
That's
is
all
the
they care about.
It's like this Detroit Public School District is all black women. Look at them. They online.
Exactly. Yep.
Look at them and the stuff that they do. And how the heck is you going to have 50,000 students with a $760 million budget, whereas back in the 1998, you had over $1 billion budget, $1 billion budget with over 100,000 students.
Yeah.
Had to do the math.
I mean, for real. And let's not forget about that cheating scandal. I think it was in Atlanta.
That was in Atlanta.
A lot of those teachers were black. Yeah, a lot of those teachers were black too. You know. And folks, let me just stress something. I'm not here to down black people. You know, people keep saying, oh, why you got to be talking about the black people? Why you got to be talking? Well, the reason why I talk about the black people is because I don't want to see us make the same mistakes that the white racists made. You know, I mean, it's almost like black folks are like, well, y'all hated us at one time. Now it's our turn to hate you. I'm not doing this to down black folks. You know, I get people saying, oh, you trying to be white and, you know, you trying to, you know, like I said earlier in the show where Warren said that people like myself are nothing but black comfort dogs for the white racist conservatives. And furthermore, in that show, he came up and he made a shot at me talking about these black by color only comfort dogs. I'm like, okay, I see where it's coming from. Okay, I got you. You know, and I wasn't surprised. It just made me chuckle. But when I hear them saying things like that, I'm like, y'all just don't get it. So, you know, you're no longer worth my time. So, you know, get the stepping. But anyway, did you have something to say, Pianchi?
I'm going to put in the Sierra, people say we don't praise what blacks do, but I'm going to put something in the chat room right here. And I want you to look at these 15,000 black STEM graduates who are member of the National Society of Black Engineers. And companies from racist Mississippi, as they like to say, is hiring them over 400 at a time. They all black. That company is Northrop Grumman, headquartered in Mississippi. And then you have Lockheed, a national, a U.S. national defense company hiring 400 at a time. And, you know, all these corporations from the CIA, FBI, Caterpillar, you got Google and all, they show up at this convention so that the kids, the young people, don't have to go to each and every individual company's convention for hiring. They say, we'll make it a convenience because we want to have the best and dedicated talent that we can. And I would stipulate this. When these young people who start off $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, when they get into the mainstream, they ain't going to be voting for them damn Democratic giveaway and mercy me policy. They're going to have a conservative point of view.
Like exactly.
We always say, go ahead and get started. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And watch out for that long iron.
That's good information. Oh, I talked to him earlier. He might not be coming on the show today. Hello, welcome to the show. Is this Sarge?
I don't hold your breath hoping I wouldn't. Hey, man, one thing you gotta admit about fruit bats, man, they are diverse. They come in all hues, don't they?
Exactly. Yep. all kinds of them.
Yeah, you know what? Well, first of all, just let me get a correction of my correction out of the way. I was going from memory. But according to my book, which, as you know, I got like 15 books about Tuskegee Airmen. I got one by Robert F. Doyle, which is entitled United States Army Air Force Jet Killers of World War II, German Jet Killers of World War II. And the incident in which the ME-262s were shot down with Tuskegee Airmen was on a bomber escort mission over Berlin when they were attacked. The bombers were attacking the Daimler-Benz tank factory, and they shot down three, not four, but three German fighters, First Lieutenant Charles Brantley, Earl Lane, and Captain Robert Brown, each got one, and the Tuskegee Airmen got the Distinguished Unit Citation for their actions that day, because they also shot down some piston engine Focke-Wulf's 190s and Messerschmitt 109s. So they did a pretty good job that day. But equally impressive, as I also said in the chat room, was the fact that they are the only known aviators of World War II that I could research, at least American aviators, who blew up a German destroyer with machine gun fire. Now, that's a fairly decent-sized warship, you know, a destroyer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was probably a lucky hit because they were strafing it, you know, just trying to do what damage they could with the machine guns, maybe kill the anti-aircraft crews, maybe destroy some stuff above deck. You know, who knows, maybe do some damage to the propulsion units and all that. But they probably a lucky shot went down an open magazine door because they were firing armor-piercing incendiary tracer. Probably set off some loose powder or maybe an ammunition bag or something in the magazine, and that caused the destroyer to blow up. But they did it. Nobody else did it that I could find. So that was equally impressive, too. They did that on a strafing mission over the Mediterranean when attacking some German warships.
Okay, I appreciate that because I got a series from the History Channel called Dogfights. I think it's probably my favorite program of all time, and they show the different dogfights.
I've seen all of them too. I've seen the ones in Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, and the Tuskegee Airmen one is my favorite one. I love that one, and I'm like, you know, I love that program. It's probably my favorite program of all time because I love the jet fighters. I love to read about the World War II fighters and everything. And being that I'm an Air Force child, you know, I guess that's not hard to imagine. You know, I like going to
thing about Tuskegee Airmen. I think out of all the fighter groups in the Army, they probably flew a greater variety of first-line American fighter aircraft in any other unit. They started out on the P-39 and went to the P-40. Then they flew the P-47. Then they flew the P-51 C and D model. The only frontline fighter they didn't fly for the Army Air Force was the P-38. Other than that, they flew all of them. That's kind of interesting, too. There's a lot of things they did that were singular and unique, and I think they deserve all the credit they get and the discussion they can get for it. But I still say, for my money, the best combat outfit, black combat outfit of World War II, was still the 761st Tank Battalion. Their record was simply outstanding. It would stand with any other independent tank battalion in the United States Army in World War II. It was just amazing. It was an outstanding record.
You're absolutely
and most
right.
People, not enough black people know enough about them. We do know about Tuskegee Airmen, and deservedly
yeah.
so. But I think they also ought to focus on a little some of the like 969th Field Artillery Battalion and 761st Tank Battalion and even some units in the 92nd Infantry Division, which my father was in. So yeah, there's a lot to learn, and I hope people learn it. But
yes.
I'd like to get back to your discussions about your encounters with Warren, and you know I saw that show on the Blog Talk. You know. Highlight page, and I said, listen, I thought it was a live show, but he was replaying it, and it wasn't a live show, and I had called in hoping I could have a discussion with him about it, but he was apparently was listening, I mean, listening to his own show, but he picked up the phone, and we had a discussion about it, and, you know, I accused him of doing exactly the same sort of dehumanization tactics that white racists employ with regards to black
yep.
people. I said, it is simply amazing to me that you will not consider the possibility of black persons' independent human agency to decide that certain transcendent objective truths are universal and better and superior than others. You will not give us that as you think we're simply, you are dehumanizing us by calling us literally canines to our white masters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is astonishing to me that a black man would do a thing like this. I mean,
yep.
and I asked him, I said, now, do you think I have the agency? Because I believe that my belief in transcendent objective truth and principles, which the reason they sound like white people's truth is because the language is the same for both white people and black people when you talk about universal transcendent objective truth. That's why they sound alike. Because the language in that respect is universal. You have to sound the same. You just about have to sound the same. We talk about objective fact and truth. But see, he doesn't see people like Warren don't believe in objective truth. They believe in subjective truth. They believe in racial truth. They believe in black truth. They believe in my truth. They say you believe in your truth. They don't believe in the truth. That's why they will not acknowledge your agency as an independent human being coming to make independent conclusions on your own based upon the empirical evidence you observe and the epistemological record and truth that you can learn through your own research. That they just won't do it. It goes against the stream. I said they believe in a dialectic materialism of Marxism. They believe in class struggle, and that's the way they look at the whole world. They look at the world through that lens, and it's a very tightly focused lens that does not look to the universality of human nature, the good and the bad, which is everywhere in all peoples at all times, in all civilizations and in all cultures, all of them. Even the Polynesians, who are seen as the most utopian people of all, they would go on bloody rampages of extermination with other Melanesian tribes. So, I mean, it's universal. It's everywhere. But they just won't acknowledge. I mean, I think it just pains them to even think of the possibility of, because they want to focus on the sins of the United States so they can bully, so they can intimidate, so they can extort things from the United States by playing on white guilt and a whole lot of the stupid feelings. That's what they want to do. And that's to a certain extent, they have succeeded in cowing people who will not offer a vigorous counterattack in defense against the little stormtrooper tactics that they employ at every opportunity they get to employ them. I'm prepared to do
exactly.
it, though. I'm sick. I've had it. I mean, I'm not taking any of the lying down. They want to destroy this country. They particularly wish to tear down the founding principles of this country. They want to denigrate the Constitution by saying it's a racist document created by racists that should have no applicability to anything in our modern, evolved, woke world.
Exactly. And you know he was asking me. He said, and I kind of chuckled when he asked me this question. He said, well, how many black people signed the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution?
That's one of the most cheap tricks. Yeah, that's one of the most common cheap tricks.
I said, just because a black person didn't sign it doesn't mean that that was racist. You know, now, if you can show me where a black person was trying to...
I will, for sake of argument, I will concede that every one of the framers was a racist and a slave owner, which, of course, is not true. But for the sake of argument, just to get it out of the way so we can deal with what... Look at the Declaration and the Constitution itself. Every emergent nation in the world since that document was created, all of them pay lip service to in the form of copying it and aping most of the aspects of it. All of them do.
That's right.
All of them do.
That's
even
right.
The Soviet Union. When the Bolsheviks took over the Soviet Union, they wrote a constitution that was modeled on the United States Constitution. Of course, they didn't mean it, but they understood its value. They understood the import of adopting it because it made such a powerful... No other country in the world had anything like it. It wasn't even close. So, you know, somebody could be imperfect and still do something that approaches perfection, even though nobody will ever achieve perfection in anything, I don't think. Not even the Mona Lisa was perfect, you know. But I'm just saying that the Constitution kind of gets there. The idea of self-government, the idea of inalienable rights, the idea of separation of powers, the idea of federalism, the idea of free markets, the idea of respect for private property, the idea of respect for liberty, somebody had to start off doing it, and it was the framers of this Constitution that did it, and I thank God we had them to do it.
Exactly. Now, even countries today.
Perfection, you better wait to die and go to the next life and meet God in heaven. Because you ain't finding it on this planet ever.
Even countries today that go to modify their constitution, they have the U.S. Constitution there alongside. Most recently that I know of was Zambia, Central Africa.
They all do.
Yep.
And why shouldn't they? There is no better government document designed for governance and the governance of people with the. If you doubt me, look at North Korea and South Korea. Same people genetically, speak the same damn language. One of them live in absolute medieval serfdom misery. The others have a relatively prosperous, in fact, a very prosperous society with a great deal of liberty. Look at the size differential between South Koreans and North Koreans. They're the same people genetically, but one's better nourished. Look at how little the North Korean soldiers are. Because they're undernourished. Look at how much, much larger. You look at the guards on the border. You look at a South Korean soldier. They look buff. They fill out their uniforms. Their ramrod straight. Look at North Korea. His uniform's hanging off him. And this is all throughout North Korea. I mean, we can measure these things. Look at East Germany and West Germany. Again, same genetic people. Speak the same language. Look at East Germany. Who wants to live? Everybody's running away from East Germany to go to West Germany. Why is that? Because of free markets, capitalism, and the United States influence.
Mm-hmm.
United States saved South Korea from the misery of North Korea.
Wait a minute, Sarge.
All you got to do is compare and contrast these countries, and you know what the truth is. Again, transcendent, objective truth. And that is something that progressives and Marxists reject.
Sarge, I got to correct you on that. You know, capitalism was born out of American slavery. So we've got to correct you on that. We got to correct you on that because the capitalism we enjoy today was taken out of slavery. So
I see. You know, so the Chinese on the Silk Road and Marco Polo engaging in trade, that didn't exist until the United States came along with slavery. Yeah, I know. That's kind of the story they almost tell. You know?
Tell
you, man, they really are as ahistorical as it is possible to be. When you come up with a supposedly an esteemed newspaper like the New York Times that makes the ridiculous claim, the ahistorical, utterly ridiculous, absurd claim that the United States was founded in 1619, then that automatically right there, that idiot that authored that thing, along with the other idiots who contributed to it, should have been immediately discredited. And now, if they used it as a metaphor or an allegory, okay, I can understand that. But they literally meant it.
Well, you can discredit them, but won't nobody hear you because the New York Times won't publish those discredits. That's where the problem lies. You got these news media that is just as ratchet, if you want to use that term of modern day hood language. They just as ratchet can be. And I'm keep here to saying it. I'm here to say it, that the most racist I've ever seen, based on the act, the definition of the act, which always evolves and changes to something else. I mean, if you scratch your head with a right hand, you was cool. But if you start scratching your head with your left hand, now you're racist. They was black. Blackface.
You know something? And I just want to let you know, I want you to know, brother, Brother Vince, that Warren is on the line, and I know you said you didn't want to engage him, but I really think you should. I mean, I understand why you don't want to, but I think it's
I don't
important.
Think you should, because you're wasting time.
I think it's important to reveal the hollowness of their arguments, because they're frequently unchallenged. They say the things
they say,
and they don't get any pushback.
And he's calling your brother.
Well, that's why I came on. That's why I came
look,
on his
show,
program.
Brother.
Because
I know you're going to run it, so you run it. But I'm just saying, I think we need every opportunity we have, provided they're going to behave and behave civilly. They don't have to like us. We don't have to like them. I think we have an obligation to be civil. But provided everyone is civil, I think we should always engage each other on ideas.
You know, I had going on events, but... if you're going to do that, I'm going to give me some more pecan pie, man.
Oh, man,
make this statement or whatever. I understand, you know, listening to everybody's viewpoints and everything, but I'm the type of person, if you're not going to listen to me at all or come to a point of compromise and say, okay, I understand that, I don't agree with you, but I understand why you think like that, but you still want to hold to your own beliefs and everything without, you know, because I was, I told my wife about what Warren said about me being a black by color only comfort dog. And the first thing came out my wife's mouth was, that's an insult. I said, exactly. And it has nothing to do with hurt my widow feelings. You know, but if you're going to do that and I try to explain to you what I am about, but you still want to believe that I'm a person who's getting paid by the white racists and all that and everything, and that I'm a comfort dog, and that they got their hand in my body and they're doing the talking, but my lips are moving, I have no time for you.
But you know what, I'm
going to
ask you.
I have no time.
Let me ask you something. What do you need these people for? Do you need them for survival? Do you need them for your comfort and the maintenance of your family or your economic status?
Mm-mm, no.
Well, I feel that way, too. I don't need these people. Need them for what? They don't hold nothing over my head. They can't fire me or get me unpromoted in my own business. So and you know the thing about me, if you feel that way, why do you mess with those who openly say that they conservative?
Yeah, I mean, for real.
Well,
I mean,
but we got to remember, though, people who have the sway that they have and the influence that they have with government, just yesterday, the day before yesterday, are forcing us to pay almost $2 trillion more dollars, mainly to interests that believe the way they do. Millions and billions of dollars. Because people with that influence who have had the megaphone, the high ground of the educational establishment, the media, and every platform that delivers information is influenced by this cultural Marxist progressive left. They've had the high ground, and the reason we have to oppose them is because they are getting so much influence everywhere, in every corridor of power and influence. And it is literally wrecking our country. We need to show their ideas for the destructive nature that that they are, for their insidiousness, their destructiveness, their deceitfulness, their alternative bizarre universe theories. Everything they believe is corrupt and vacated and not at all confirmed by the historical record, but they keep doing it and they keep getting more influence. They are literally have influenced a large segment of this population, that a man can declare himself to be a woman and even that he can get pregnant. And they have a lot of people saying this is true. Now, I don't know how that is possible in a society that pretends to be primarily rational. But here we are.
That's true,
here
though.
We are. Here we are.
Yeah. That's how that's that and that and that's I was telling my wife this morning.
Pushback against them when it all was in the nascent stage, when it was just emerging. I don't think we made enough pushback. It's it'll pass. It's just a phase. You know, this climate stuff. Oh, that's ridiculous. You know, anthropogenic global warming. Come on, the geological record is replete with examples of wild cycle changes of climate before mankind even came on the planet.
True.
Do you think that makes any impression to these zealots? No.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't challenged
when
they came out with it.
And I wish I could get some global warming right now, because temperature only went up to 15 degrees a day.
You see the stats I put? I'm gonna send that to you too, Sarge. I put U.S. Census stats on St. Charles County. St. Charles County is about 83% black. Not black, 83% white. Okay. And some of the cities in St. Charles County, St. Peter's and St. Charles City, the police department is practically all 100% white. Okay. St. Charles County is across the Missouri River. In other words, you can't go no further west before you hit the river. Then you got to go across a bridge into St. Charles County. Okay. Guess what blacks are running to? Running from the cities and the immediate counties, what we call the ring cities around St. Louis. Guess where they're running to? They going into St. Charles County. Their population now is about 6%.
Wow.
But I don't understand that. It's just confusing. I thought they were running from white police brutality. I thought they were running from white races.
Well,
boggles
the
mind.
You only got so many black people that can go around. You know, we got 13% of the population. It is impossible to embed black people in every portion of the country where you might want to see people for the purpose of diversion, equity, and inclusion. It's a little difficult, too. It's 13%. It's like in his Netflix show. I think it's called Bridgerton. Yeah, they created an entire aristocratic class of black people living in the early 19th century. An entire class, not just one like in that movie Belle. I don't know if you saw the movie Belle, which is a great movie, by the way, about a mulatto woman who was born of a slave mother and a British sea captain. True story, based on a true story.
Yeah.
She was in the aristocratic class of Britain. Now, that did happen, but this TV series Bridgerton actually created an aristocratic class of black, an entire class of them, like comparable to the white aristocratic class of that time, aristocratic class of that. And they theorized that Charlotte of Mecklenburg, who had married King George III, was in fact a completely black woman, sister like you see walking down the street going into Kroger or Kmart or Walmart. Look just like that, because she had maybe an African ancestor 500 years hence. And that was a coat upon which they hung. Charlotte of Mecklenburg, who married King George III, being a black woman, and this aristocratic class was conjured up. Why don't they just tell the true story of kings like Shaka Zulu or Mansa Musa? And we know what he was. He was a slave trader. We still had a fascinating story. I know Charlemagne was a tyrant, too, but his story's fascinating.
Yep.
You know, I mean, well, just tell the stories that are really there. There's all kinds of real stories about black historical characters in other countries they could tell. That would be great to tell. They have to make up a whole class of aristocratic black people that never was.
Yeah, and all Moors were not black-skinned. And Dunbar, the writer of The Three Musketeers, they say that he's black. They take this blackness all the way back into past ancient history where it was not relevant at all. Nobody described themselves as that. And anyway, if it was, guess what? They were not American blacks. Because you got American blacks today with all the tools and necessary resources, and they aren't doing what those people were doing back then. Now, some are, a lot of them are, you don't hear about them, and I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Because when they step out, first thing they do is get ridiculed. I don't blame them. I keep it quiet. It's one thing that I can tell you openly that I did not do. I didn't let my kids play with those blacks, quote unquote. I didn't. If it was a family that had all that kind of ratchet stuff going on, my kids didn't play with them. And my grandkids didn't play with them.
Well, you know, like said Bianchi, I mean, history is replete with examples of black people involved, not only in their own countries, not only in Africa and Egypt, like the Kush, as you well know. Now, you're an expert on the Kushite dynasty in Egypt. I mean, I know you could talk for hours about that, but all throughout history, black people have legitimately interacted with Western civilization. There's thousands of stories you could tell that are perfectly legit and utterly fascinating, and I wish to God they start telling some of them instead of just making stuff and hallucinating stuff up out of thin air.
But yet and still, they say we don't know history, though. We don't know our history. We don't know history.
It's not,
you know?
my father's favorite subject. And he imbued that love for it in me, and I've known all kinds of black people who love history.
Yeah, and I'm not a history expert or anything, but I know enough of it to put two and two together, you know. And they make these false claims, oh, you don't know history, and, you know, like, you know, you need to read about the black experience. Yeah, you need to read about the black experience. 13 years ago, I had someone tell me, actually make a false accusation against me saying, you ain't never lived in the hood. Let me take you down Central Avenue in Sea Pleasant, Maryland, same place where, what's his name, the basketball player come from.
Yeah, I know.
Gosh, I forgot his name.
I don't know. I don't follow basketball. But what I want to ask you,
he won the MVP in one of the championship games with the Golden State Warriors.
Stephen Curry?
No, not Steph Curry. It was his teammate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you think Hollywood's going to do a story on Durant?
Hey, you know what?
Yeah,
now, Kevin Durant, I really appreciate him. He is a class act. And you should have saw how he talked about all the things that his mother contributed to his upbringing. No father, but his mom stayed there. And same thing with Shaq, too. His mom was there with him. His mom used to take him by the ear and lead him out of practice to the car and take him home. Could you imagine that? But
Bianchi and Vince, when do you think Hollywood is going to do a story on the first black congressman or the first seven black congressmen? I say probably never because they were all Republicans.
Yeah. Yep.
They'll probably never do that, will they? They won't talk about Ira Revels or Blanche Manning. They won't tell you nothing about that because all Republicans.
I learned about them in history.
They'll tell you about lynchings all day long from now until doomsday, and properly because that was an important chapter of American history. I'm not saying they shouldn't do stories about lynching. I'm glad they do, but they put the whole emphasis on the atrocity in American history. Yeah. Their entire emphasis is on atrocity and sin. There is nothing about the United States, particularly its past, that generally is good.
Yeah.
Well, what I want to know is
I didn't learn about them. I didn't learn about them until less than 20 years ago. I was like, wait a minute. We had seven congressmen in the 1800s, and they were black? And they were
let's say this. They weren't lily white. Let's say that they weren't lily white.
Exactly.
But what I want to know.
They certainly weren't.
How is you and your wife going to spend Christmas, Vincent, and New Year's? And what do you guys got planned?
We have nothing planned. I am going to sit here and chill out. I'm still recovering from my second bout with COVID. My mom sent us a package. She told me, you know, promise me you don't open it until Christmas. And I got it right here. And I said, as soon as I get up, I'm going to rip that thing open, see what it is. New Year's is going to be the same thing. Because I just need the rest. I really do. But just to let you all know, you know, on the Saturdays, like next Saturday, God willing, I'll be having another program, you know. But I'm just going to try to chill.
That's New Year's Eve next Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what. I know Sarge is going to enjoy himself with his family, hopefully so.
Already, man. We've been partying. We started celebrating Christmas 6 days ago, and we've been partying all over Georgia. You stay away from Atlanta because we do avoid Atlanta. We don't like Atlanta. Reminds us too much of Chicago. But
well,
other than that, we're
oh
partying everywhere else in Georgia. Because I live around nice people where I live. Most of them are black people. I live in the most peaceful county you could imagine. It's black Democrats run it. And even though politically I would prefer another group, they're not insane, they're rational, and they seem to govern well. And that's fine with me.
Oh, you
they do.
Have
and they're all
some...
black. The black young men are very polite, courteous, civil, and helpful. The black young women seem to be very, they act feminine, they're nice ladies, they're polite, they speak well, they're well-mannered. I mean, most of the people, the white people are courteous and civil and helpful. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
It's such like such night and day difference between Chicago, where I used to live, and police, to where I'm living now. It's literally like night and day. And it's in the cradle of the Confederacy. I never thought I'd find it here.
You know what I want to mention to Vincent on that spelling bee? The other contestant was a majority Indian. They weren't white American. I think one girl was white. Female was white American. And Indians do a very tremendous job when it comes down to education, just like the Nigerians. And in the St. Louis area, you got Africans that live in those municipalities like Maryland Heights, Belleville, Illinois, which is supposed to have been so racist. You got them in Maryland Heights. You got them down in the southern area like Arnold. They live in these white communities. Don't have no problem whatsoever. They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see?
They don't live in the hood.
I don't know why we choose to ignore this, you know, and always want to cry that the white man is holding us back and everything. I mean, we have the same opportunities everybody else does, and people can come across the pond over here from their country, and 2 years later, they're owning real estate and everything. So, I mean, and all they did was take advantage of the opportunities that we already have here, but we just don't take advantage of them.
They don't take advantage. We don't, quote unquote, we, who they are, don't take advantage as you would hope to see them do. But, you know, I'm going to tell you and Sarge this. I think you are seeing the best that you're going to see. I hate to say that, but I really do. Based on the methodology that's used to get them to the academic criteria that they must have, I think you're seeing the best that you can see at this moment. Now, it will increase, it won't be no onslaught increase. You know, one of the major things, you got to educate your kids, man. I'm telling you. If your child is not educated to superbness, beyond, and see, you have to give up something. You don't have, on this particular planet, one revolution is 24 hours. And being that you are a human being, of those 24 hours require you to do the things that you must do in order to maintain your viability health-wise. Well, then that leaves only so many hours left. So you cannot achieve that type of academic excellence, know-how, knowledge, and also perform your civic duties. It takes time. And I think that the method that they are being educated today, and I'm just talking about black, but it's also applied to whites too.
Yeah.
You're probably seeing the best you can get at this time.
Let me give you a concrete example of what you're talking about, Pionki. For instance, the Federal Aviation Agency, I believe, the federal agency responsible for overseeing certain aspects of testing for like commercial airline pilots, they remove certain criteria from qualifications to take certain training and or testing. For instance, like whether or not you had prior aviation experience as either a private pilot or some sort of schooling that might give you a leg. Well, everyone would agree would give you a leg up. I mean, if you're already a private pilot, particularly a multi-engine rated pilot, then I think no matter who you are, you got a leg up pretty much over anybody who doesn't, generally speaking, but not always, but generally. And the reason they did it, they said, was to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, you really ought to put the they ought to reverse it the other way so it comes to die, you know. You know, Because, I mean, because they had to put a DEI to make sure nobody saw what it really was. And what it means is they are actually reducing the pilot, the qualifications to become a commercial airline pilot in the interest of diversity, which should be not just secondary to whether or not you could be a good commercial airline pilot. Probably shouldn't even be under consideration.
It shouldn't be under consideration.
It shouldn't even be consideration.
Yep.
Only excellence in marriage.
They're doing this because of skin color.
Because an airline pilot. Only
I don't
want
to get no pilot. I'm teaching my grandson how to fly. You know what type of gauges he'll use? He's not using the glass gauges, GPS and so forth. I'm making him start with the old steam gauges, those round gauges where you got to compute. You're going to start off with that first.
Yeah, yeah, like you actually got a rate of climb indicator in there, right?
All that kind of stuff, absolutely.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what you mean, man, because, look, the only thing should be considered is merit. And I wouldn't care if 100% of the pilots were black, if they were truly the most meritorious and the most best to get. I wouldn't care for that matter if they were 100% white, if they're truly the best.
Yeah.
Because you see, being an airline pilot, they all talk about how boring it is. The only thing they have to do anything with is take off and landing, and the doggone plane flies itself the rest of the time. But when something goes wrong, you got to be as good a pilot as Sully Sullenberger out there trying to land on that river.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah.
When something goes wrong, you just can't be a rote checklist pilot anymore.
And It had all, quote, black crew, Ethiopia, Ghana, and that does exist. Both two women pilot and co-pilot, black females, they do exist. But anyway, Vincent, you're out of
time. They ought to be there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in the archives and everything. But this was a great show, and I appreciate you guys coming on. Next week, like I said, God willing, I should have another edition of this program. It'll be the last program of the year. I don't know what I'm gonna talk about or whatever, but of course, you know, I'll find out by the time when that comes. Sarge, you're a gentleman among gentlemen. You too, Pianchi. I appreciate you guys coming on and sharing your know-how, your knowledge with the program. And I really hope that the people who listen to this program, I really hope they get something out of it and not just, you know, just hearing a couple of guys talking and whatever. I really hope they get something out of what's said on this program, myself included. But anyway, you guys take care of yourselves. Have a Merry Christmas. Don't eat too much turkey. Don't rip over too many gifts or anything. You know, be nice to Santa Claus or whoever. But anyway, this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a Merry Christmas.